Good afternoon and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. My name is Mark Muro.
And I'm Jean Paul, here to talk with Jack Roderick and Dick Reichman about You Can't Take It With You, which is opening really next Thursday, but officially opening next Friday at Cyrano's. There's a preview on Thursday, I presume, as there usually is?
Yes, there is. Pay what you can. And get what it's worth.
So, Dick, you're directing?
Yeah, you know, this has been a great stroke of fortune. This play is very hard to cast, and Sandy asked me to do it, and I was delighted at the prospect. I thought to myself, my God, we're never going to fill all these roles well. Lots of roles. There's 19 roles in there. We got it down to 15, but there really are 19 to begin with. But I knew that it was going to go well, because the morning of the tryouts, I went to Nusagaya for coffee. And I was looking at the script, trying to figure out, maybe I'll call a few people, think about things. Who am I going to cast in the role? And in walks my old friend Jack Roderick, who's not known as an actor. He's an author, of course, of Crude Dreams, mm-hmm. an ex-borough mayor, president of Anchorage, a well-known man in many fields. And I just almost lightly, jokingly said, well, we're having tryouts today for the play. Why don't you come on over and read? And he said, maybe.
Spoken like a true Renaissance man.
And he ended up in the play.
Wow.
To play Grandpa, the perfect role. And then through the rest of the day, all these people, most of whom I didn't even know, walked in. I got a great cast. Half of them were new to me. And
what a wonderful
mm-hmm.
yeah, how refreshing. Some new faces on stage.
This eccentric play with a marvelous stream of actors, and to have Jack at the middle of it, what a pleasure.
Well, Jack, what compelled you to jump in and do this? I mean, it's kind of scary, isn't it?
Exactly. It is scary. And I said, no, Dick. And then I sat for a while with a couple of friends, and I went back to him. Yeah, and I said, why not?
Great.
Yeah, he was at another table, and I kept looking at him, and he kept looking back.
Yeah, kept contemplating. I knew it was going to be scary, and it is, of course. But it's a great cast, great young people.
You have a daughter who's a fine actress. I don't know. It probably runs in the family.
Well, Libby's not really an actress. Of course, she's a singer. And
well, she's more
writer.
Than an actress. And yeah, but she's an actor.
She's a performer. Yeah,
definitely.
Absolutely. Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's in the genes.
And, yeah. and you're also, a star athlete. I know all about that.
Ooh.
Also.
Well,
He's the captain of the team. Quarterback?
No, it was an end.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's so cool. I mean, so this isn't your stage debut, is it? You've probably done stuff a long time ago.
I've done about 4 plays over 50 years.
Okay.
Starting back in the 50s. And
he worked with Frank Brink in the early days of the community theater way back when.
So did I.
Yeah.
For the record. I'm not as
really
an actor.
Did you?
Yes.
I think you two kids played Romeo and Juliet back in.
No, I never acted in those days. But I did props for the famous run of South Pacific.
Oh, South Pacific, yeah. We got rights to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you knew Frank well. That was real theater, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was very interesting theater.
Yeah.
So what's it like doing this show? I mean, the show we're talking about is You Can't Take It With You. And this show came out in the 30s, and it's a comedy.
Well, this is written by the deans of comedy back in the Broadway days. Moss Hart and Kaufman mm-hmm. were both directors, playwrights, comedy writers, wrote many things in collaboration with a lot of people, did a lot of Broadway. These are the days when Broadway was kind of a much smaller club, and people did everything, and things were much more lightly done. This comedy, one of a series of comedies by Moss and Hart, The Man Who Came to Dinner being the other famous one that we know.
That's about Alexander mm-hmm. Wolcott.
This came out at the end of 1936 and won a Pulitzer Prize in 1937. Was made into a movie by Frank Capra in 1938, so it was just an instant hit.
With Lionel Barrymore.
And mm-hmm. Lionel Barrymore was in that movie. And the play was distinctively, and it was noted by everyone, even his good reviews, distinctively not significant. Here we are at the middle of the Depression, a similar moment to this moment in history, when the whole society is falling apart, the economy is falling apart, and we put on sort of a feel-good comedy that is totally charming and totally escapist in the deepest sense. Very attached to its time, too. It's funny, producing this play, it's such an old thing. We have to be careful to make, you know, 1936 was a long time ago. My mother's attitudes are joked about in this play, things that I remember from my childhood, points of view on the world that are gone. At the same time, it's this moment in our history when we are in a deep recession. Lots of little jokes, lots of little stuff bubbling up out of that situation, making it kind of strangely, oddly,
topical.
Unexpectedly topical in this very old style.
For those of you who are just tuning in, this is Stage Talk here with our guests Jack Roderick and Dick Reichman talking about Cyrano's upcoming production of You Can't Take It With You. And before we went on the air, Dick, you were talking about it, how fluffy it is and yet how funny it is and how delightful.
Well, it's a very gentle thing. And I was noting that we were talking about earlier about it has an unusual couple of elements to it which ultimately make it kind of perhaps important in the style of our history theater. For one thing, it's a comedy in which the situation remains the same. The household remains the same. The relationships remain the same. This is unusual. Usually plays are about people who change.
Right. That's like mm-hmm. the purpose of theater, showing a transformation.
Usually a love story is he meets her, they fall in love, they fight, they break it off, they come back together or they don't.
If it's a comedy.
The love story in this one, we don't see them meet. They love each other. Nothing ever happens except situation bounces them around. At the end of the play, the household is preserved from a threat that it might have had from somebody who believes differently, and you have this situation which the modern viewer will recognize as a sitcom.
It's a proto-sitcom.
Plus, it has it's vaudeville-era comedy written by vaudeville writers, but they're attempting to make it fourth-wally and real. So everything is played down. Everything is kind of subtle. You still see those structured vaudeville jokes in there, but you don't see them coming. And the actors are not called upon to time them out and play them out like music. So everything is kind of hidden underneath a sort of real veneer, real play veneer.
It's a naturalist. So it's kind of a hybrid.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of like at the time when the American musical as we know it today was just being put together from light opera meets, kind of like a variety show. Just like you say, this old kind of burlesque style coming to fore with almost like Eugene O'Neill meets, the Floridors.
Sometimes.
You read through the script, you don't even see the structured jokes till you look at it two or three times. Oh, the structure's hidden in there.
Which, of course, is in fact, what you're saying is that it was very original for its day. And that often happens when the most original things to us now seem perfectly ordinary and maybe even stale. But at the time, they were stunning.
Yeah.
Well, they had radio, too, back then, which was an ongoing thing. But, Jack, you play the grandfather?
That's correct.
Now, is that the guy who plays the saxophone? Is he the patriarch? Mm-hmm. Or is that somebody else in the show?
That's somebody else. That's the man who is in Wall Street. And Grandpa is saying, aren't you really, you've got enough money, you can't take it with you.
It's almost like George Bernard Shaw. So he's a bit of a socialistic, he has a conscience about, the vicissitudes of life being in the moment.
When Frank Capra made the movie, he put some politics back into it. Kaufman and Hart take all the politics out. So it's really not like Shaw, who was a socialist writing about social reform. This play skirts all those issues so neatly.
Like Alfred Doolittle.
But it makes jokes about them. As it goes by, it makes jokes about them. But it skirts them totally.
And it's right in the midst of the Depression, of course. And, Wall Street, the decline in the economy, all these things are somewhat topical.
Yeah. The play's interesting, too, in that, Kaufman was later to direct the original Broadway production of Grapes of Wrath, which dealt with the Depression, of course, in the deepest sense. So that was part of his life, too. In this case, however, we're in the midst of the Depression. The poor household is financially stable. Nobody has money troubles. Even the unemployed black man who's the boyfriend of the maid in this house, he gets welfare check. Nobody has money problems. It's the strangest thing. Now, if you never had money problems, this story could unfold. So it's a story about the fairly rich arguing with the very rich.
Well, of course, the grandpa doesn't pay any taxes for 23 years, and the IRS guy comes in and says, "How come?" And the grandpa says, "I don't believe in it."
I mean, wow.
That's part of the
grandpa is somehow making money on his property to support this whole house full of people who don't work at all. So grandpa's in the bucks.
It's almost like one of those 19th century English novels, like a Jane Austen, or where there's all these people sitting around in the house and they don't do anything. They just like crack jokes and have hors d'oeuvres. And then every so often some guy shows up and then he has to leave, to go back to the plantation to like whip a few slaves, that's where the money's coming from. Like, what's happening off stage? He's a slumlord, basically.
Exactly. He has properties. He's making money from properties. Yeah. So he took his money out of the stock market and put it in the real estate.
He was very smart.
He was very happy.
That.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, there's a theme of government.
Anti-government,
Anti-government is running there, too.
Just like today again.
Right. Well, of course, it was populist back then, so it was maybe towards the left end of the political spectrum. Right. Some of these jokes in today's world, same joke is at the right
is
end
at
of
the right
political
end.
Spectrum.
I know.
It used
they,
to be
they
the left end of the spectrum.
Yeah, very consciously, too. Yeah, that's so interesting. Wow. Yeah. So, Jack, your experience of going out and doing, like, learning the lines, and is that, what's the process like? Is it excruciating? Is it a breeze?
It's excruciating.
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, yes, it is. You guys know, too. You got to...
Oh, I'm the worst.
Last night, I felt confident that I probably had my lines, but it's been 2 or 3 weeks of near panic. You know how that is.
Well, yeah. I'd love to hear more, but unfortunately, we're about to run out of time, so I have to thank you for coming, Jack Roderick.
Thank you.
And Dick Reichman.
Thank you.
And I'm looking forward to You Can't Take It With You.
And now here's the Stage Talk calendar. And remember, for another calendar, you can go to datebook49.com, where you can list your event on KSKA's website. This weekend is the last chance to see Valley Performing Arts' presentation of Inherit the Wind. This classic play about the famous Scopes trials runs tonight and tomorrow night at 8 p.m. For tickets and information, go to valleyperformingarts.org or call 373-0195.
ATY's Spring Break Theater Boot Camp, taught by Paul Schweigert and Steve Hunt, will be held at Golden View Middle School Monday, March 8th through Friday, March 12th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. For tickets and information, call Alaska Theater of Youth at 338-4901.
The Fur Ronde annual melodrama, Pirates of the Aleutians, Saloon Girls Gone Wild, runs through March 12th at the Snow Goose Theater. Performances are Thursdays through Saturdays at 8 p.m., Saturday matinees at 3 p.m., with a Sunday matinee at 1 p.m. and 5 p.m. For tickets and information, go to centertix.net or call 263-ARTS.
In Talkeetna, Denali Drama presents How to Make Love Like an Alaskan or Sleepless in Soldotna, Friday and Saturday, March 12th and 13th, and Thursday and Friday, March 18th and 19th at 7:30 p.m. This show has adult content. Tickets can be purchased in advance with a credit card by calling 733-7929 during box office hours, Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
And finally, Cyrano's presents the performance of You Can't Take It With You, previews next Thursday, this show, and it opens on Friday night on March the 12th. This classic romantic comedy is right up to date with fun poking at taxes and politics. Show times are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7, with a Sunday matinee at 3. For tickets and information, call 263-ARTS, or you can go to centertix.net.
Well, that's it for this week. If you'd like to download free podcasts of Stage Talk, visit our website at kska.org. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, I'm Jean Poe.
And I'm Mark Muro for KSKA.